Today she is Masechta Gittin Daf Ayin Hey. We will begin on Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis in the middle of the first wide line, Tanan Hasam. Just one word of introduction before we begin the shir. The Torah teaches us that if somebody sells a home in a Bayis Ir Chayma, in a city that has a wall from the time of Yeshua Benun, the seller has the right to redeem that home up to 12 months. If 12 months pass and he doesn't redeem the home, he loses that opportunity. It remains the buyer's forever. So the Mishnah teaches us Masechta Erchin. What this buyer would typically do is on the last day of the year, when the seller is very likely to come and try to get back his home, he would hide, so it should remain the buyer's permanently. So Hillel made the following rule. The seller could just throw his money. There was a special chamber that was assigned for that purpose. Others, the Rishonim, say that if there is no special chamber, he just gives his money to Bezdin. And he just breaks down the door. The seller breaks down the door and goes in. And whenever the buyer wants, Yovel Vito as Ma'isav, he could come and pick up his money. One observation that the Mefarshim make based on this Gemara is we've had a discussion a number of times if Yovel applied during the time of Beis Mikdash Sheni. So some Mefarshim want to prove that it did. Could the Halacha, Beis Yerchaim, all of these Halachas are connected to Yovel. Hillel, we know, lived in the time of Beis Sheni. So if our Gemara is teaching us that Hillel was making rules around this subject, it must be that Yovel was in place. Otherwise, why would Hillel make rules? Others say that Yovel was only kept midrabanan, and the rule that Hillel made was only midrabanan. Midraisa, there was no Yovel because most of Klal Yisrael, or not all of Klal Yisrael, were in Eretz Yisrael at that time. Another observation that the Brisk Rav and Reb Chaim discuss is why, if Hillel made this rule that you just have to pay, the seller should drop his money off and it becomes his, does he also have to go break the door? So they answer that, and this is an important concept that we're going to work with. It's not to be understood that it remains the seller's home until the year is up. And then if he doesn't pay by the year is up, it becomes the buyer's. It's just the opposite. It immediately becomes the buyer's. Just the Torah gives the right to the seller that he's up to a year to redeem it. And therefore, just dropping the money is not enough. He has to do a kinyan, because it's no longer his. What is the kinyan? Shaivas Adalas, breaking the door. Daguda, so Rishon, uses this Gemara to make a very interesting observation. The Gemara discusses, we've mentioned this opinion, that Oynas Yoim Achron Loishme Oynas. That if somebody could have done something previously, and he didn't do it previously, he waits till the last minute, he can't say at that point, I'm an oinus, says the Agoda. Why? Because if oinus yom achron, if you waited till the last minute and then something happens, then why does Hillel have to make a rule, says the Agoda. He wanted to pay, the seller wanted to buy back, the buyer hid, so why should the seller be held responsible? That's the Agoda's point. And that's why the Agoda, based on the Agoda, we've discussed this, he says that if somebody waits till Davin, till the last minute, and then when he's ready to Davin, something comes up that he can't Davin, according to Agoda, he's not called an Oynus. Why did you wait till the last minute? Says the Tzais, that the Agoda's comparison of Oynus Yom Achron to this Gemara is incorrect. For the Tzais says, what does Oynus Yom Achron mean? That means a person should have davened earlier. He waited for the last minute, and then something came up. Here, as we explained earlier, it is already the buyer's. As soon as the seller sells it to the buyer, it becomes the buyer. The Torah gives the seller the right to redeem it. Oynus Rachmana Patre, but nobody could say Oynus Rachmana Chayve, that because he's an Oynus, because there's an Oynus, the buyer should have to give it back. And therefore, he says this is not a situation of oinus that we should extrapolate from this for the rest of halacha. Says Rava, mitikanasa shal Hillel nishma. from the rule that Hillel made, we can learn that in the case of somebody saying, Hareza Gita Chamnash Shetetanli Masaimzos, a husband, we discussed this in the Mishnah yesterday, says to his wife, I'll give you the get with the condition that you give me 200 zos. And she gives it. Only midata migreshes. Only if he accepts it, is she divorced. Alkoch en migreshes. But if he's not willing to accept it, then he doesn't have to, and she doesn't get divorced. Why? Says Rava. Mid itzrich leila hilla skune. Since Hillel had to make a special rule, then the sina about korcha, the havelay nesina, that only in this case, even if he gives it under duress, is it considered that he's paid up, mechlal, the be'alma nesina about korcha lav nesina. Only in this case that he'll make the rule, typically nesina about korcha, loy have nesina. Says, and there's mechlal how to learn the Gemara. Some Rishonim say that it's only in this very specific situation about Bayis Ir Choyma that Hillel will make this rule that Nesina Bal Karach is considered Nesina. Nowhere else in Halacha. That's the way some Rishonim learn. Other Rishonim learn that Hillel made his rule regarding Dine Mominus. Here it's a financial issue where the husband, where the seller is giving the buyer money. But Gittin is not just Dine Mominus. Gittin is a question of Isser. Is she an Ashes Ish or not? We can't extrapolate from Dine Mominus to Dine Isser Veheter. Ask the Mefarshim, why, the Rishonim, the Rajba asked this question, we know that a get can be given Bal Karcha. So why can't we use that as a source of understanding that Bal Karcha is an acceptable situation? Answers the Rajba. A husband who gives the wife a get is in total control. So a husband who the Torah gives the total rights could do it bal karcha. But in a buyer-seller situation, or wherever we're dealing with two parties, that cannot be used, get cannot be used as a source to teach us that bal karcha is acceptable. So the Gemara is saying that we can't learn from bayis ir chayma to gittin. Maskula rapapa vitamer of simi brashi. Maybe Hillel's rule was only shloi b'fonof, al b'fonof, if the buyer is there, thereby medat the ben b'karcha having the sina. So the Gemara is suggesting that if the husband is there, even if it's against his will, for that I don't need Hillel's rule. Ask Tosfos, if before Hillel made his rule, the halacha is that if the buyer doesn't take the money willingly, he doesn't have to take it, so then why did he have to hide? The Gemara began quoting the Mishnah Masechta Erechin that the buyer hid. Why does he need to hide? He doesn't have to hide. He just doesn't have to take the money. Answers Tosfos. Let's understand the situation. The Torah gives the seller the right to give the buyer the money and get back his property. The buyer is doing something wrong by not being willing to take the money. Typically, a person doesn't want to be that chutzpahdig of saying to you, I'm supposed to take the money and I won't. So what does the person do? He hides. But enochanami, he doesn't have to hide before Hillel's rule. Ikadamri, amirava, mitakanosha shal Hillel areza gitecham nasha titni mesayim zos. From Hillel's rule we can learn that if somebody says to his wife, I'm giving you the get on the condition that you pay me up, the nasan abay medata bay bakarcha, have an asina. It's considered acceptable. V'chi itzruch leil Hillel sekune, when did Hillel have to make the rule? Shloi b'fonav. Only if the buyer is there. Avel b'fonav, if the buyer is there, v'emedata b'embakar chav nesina. And the Gemara is suggesting the same thing with the husband and wife. Once the husband made this rule, made this condition, as long as the wife delivers the money to him, whether he's willing to take it or not, it's considered that she fulfilled the stipulation. Who says that by get, even if the wife is giving the husband the get, it's acceptable, maybe, only if he's willing to take it, so why did Hillel only make the rule b'fonof? Because Hillel was speaking to a situation where the buyer typically wasn't there. But it has nothing to do specifically with him being there or not. Hillel made a double rule that he has to be there, and he doesn't have to be there, and he doesn't have to accept it, but that's strictly by Bayis Ir Choyma, everywhere else not. So the Rishonim discuss given that our Gemara remains inconclusive. The Rishonim, the Rajba, Tosfos discuss, what is Takir Adin? If a husband gives his wife a get with the stipulation that you'll pay me, and then she wants to give him the money and he refuses to take it, is the get a good get or not? So both the Rajba and Tosfos suggest that the get will be a good get. But they give different reasons why, with very serious halachic ramifications. According to the Rajba says that when the husband said to the wife, I'm giving you the get on the condition that you pay me, included in that stipulation was that the husband said, and when you pay me, I will not give you any problems. I'll take the money. So now it's too late for him to retract. That's the Rajba's opinion. Tosfos has a very different opinion. Tosfos says, you can't attribute that to the husband. The husband said, I want the money. He didn't start saying, and I won't give you problems. So how do we include and say that that's what the husband meant? Tosfos says what the husband says, that I'm going, that when you have to give me the money, Tosfos says the husband's perspective, and it's very much consistent with the Gemara we learned yesterday, was that he wants to cause her tsar. That's what we learned at the end of the shiur yesterday. What does tsar mean? That she has to take 200 zuz out of her pocket. So Tosfos says the husband's perspective is not that he receives the money. The husband's perspective is that she took the money out of a pocket. And once she takes the money out of a pocket, the fact that he does or doesn't take it doesn't make any difference. The get becomes valid. In fact, I saw the Paiskim use this to discuss an interesting shaila. He says there was a situation where a bechor was born to a couple, and there was only one kohen in the town. And for whatever reason, the kohen refused to participate in the pidyon haben. He didn't want to take the 5 shlomim from the father. And the father wanted to do the mitzvah pidyon haben. So the Paiskim suggested, the mitzvah pidyon haben is not that the kohen should receive the money. The mitzvah pidyon haben is that the father should give the money. So as long as he gives the money, the fact that the kohen does or doesn't take it doesn't change that he was mekayim the mitzvah. This question I also saw about Nesin about Karcha comes up on Purim. There's an interesting remark. What happens if I send you Shalach Manas and you refuse to take it? Was I Mekayim the Mitzvah Shalach Manas or not? So the remark says I was Mekayim the Mitzvah. The Manas Halevi says you're not. And the Mefarshim explain, sort of Tzav Sofer says this explanation, what's the Machlokes remark and the Manas Halevi? He says, according to the remark, the purpose of Shalach Manas is to create goodwill amongst people. So if you see that I thought about you and I sent you Shalach Manas, so that means I'm thinking about you, so the goodwill has been created. The fact that you did or didn't take the Shalach Manas is not material. The Menaisa Levi says the purpose of Shalach Manas is to give people to have something for the Suda. So if you're not going to take my Shalach Manas, I haven't been Mekayim the Mitzvah. So some Paiskim want to say, isn't this the Shaila of Nesina Bar Karcha, if I'm giving to you against your will? And they want to suggest that since Shalach Manas is a Drabonon, we should certainly be lenient, and like Ramah says, that Nesina Bar Karcha should be considered a Nesina. According to the Menais HaLevi, however, even if it's a Drabonon, but if it doesn't accomplish what Shalach Manas is supposed to accomplish, then even though it's a Drabonon, it won't be Mekayim the Mitzvah. And the Shaila comes up nowadays very frequently, because a lot of people don't deliver the Shalach Manas themselves. They just have a range from before Purim that delivery of Shalach Manas should be made. So I'm assuming that I'm going to be Mekayim the Mitzvah by sending Shalach Manas to you, and I do whatever I have to do, and then the guy who delivers the Shalach Manas comes to your home, and you're not home for Purim. And maybe I wasn't Mekayim the Mitzvah, because even according to Ramah, because the Ramah's point is that we created goodwill. But if you don't know about the delivery of the Shalach Manas, there is no goodwill. And even according to Ramah, you haven't been Mekayim the Mitzvah. Mas Amar Rabbi Babachana. Going back to what we discussed in the previous shiur. Kamakam Shoshana Rav Shimon Gamaliel Mishnaseinu. Wherever Rav Shimon Gamaliel's opinion is cited in the Mishnah, Halach Kamaisa, the Halacha follows his opinion, Chutz for 3 places. Arev. Arev is where Rav Shimon Gamaliel says that if somebody lends somebody else money, and the loiva puts up a guarantor, an arif, according to Rav Shimon Gamaliel, when the malvel comes to collect, he has equal rights to collect from the Oreif or from the Loiva. The halacha doesn't follow the way. First you have to go to the Loiva. If the Loiva can't pay, then you go to the Oreif. Sidon is what we discussed in the previous year. We'll discuss some more later in our year, where Shimon Gamliel says that if the husband stipulated that the wife has to deliver the coat, according to Shimon Gamliel, if she doesn't have the coat, she could give money instead. For Raya Chroina. Raya Chroina, Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, where Rav Shimon Gamliel says that if somebody who's a party to a Din Torah says, I have no more evidence to back up my claims, Rav Shimon Gamliel says that if he then comes and says, you know, I did find evidence, we accept it. And the halach is not that way. Once he says that he has no more evidence, he can't open up the case. Says the Bryce, Taner Rabbanim, Hareza Gita, if a husband says to the wife, this is your get, but I'm keeping the paper, Einam Gureshes. It's not a valid get. And we have a Machloikas Rashi and the Rambam, Rashi and Rambam, why? Rashi says, if the paper remains the husband's, it's Oisyes Parchas Bavir. There's no way for the paper to, there's no way for this get to be chal, because the words are, the paper isn't hers, and therefore the get's not a good get. According to the Rambam, what is a get supposed to accomplish? A get is supposed to accomplish creases, separating, but she's still connected to him because the paper on which she has a get is still his. What's the nafkamina between the Rambam and Rashi? What will be the din by other documents, not a get? According to the Rambam, this is a special rule in creases, so it wouldn't apply to other documents. According to Rashi, all stories where such a stipulation was made would be invalid. So the Rishonim ask, we learned earlier in our Masechta that if somebody gives his wife a get written on something that you're not allowed to have a nor from, the get is a good get. Why isn't it considered a situation of Oishis Parchas Ba'aver? So Rishonim say, it doesn't change the reality that she got a document that has the get on it, and therefore there it would be valid, here it wouldn't be valid. But then the Braisa teaches us another thing. If he said, Amanasha Tachzer L'Sanayir, he gives her the get with the stipulation you have to give back the piece of paper to me, the get is a valid get, Megureshes. Ask the Gemara, Mashna Reisha, Mashna Seifa. Why in the Reisha is it not a good get? And why in the Seifa is it a good get? And says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda, Hamani, who is the town of this Braisa? Rav Shimon Gamliel here. Dama Titan Las Tanaha, that you don't have to give back, if I make a stipulation, I don't have to keep the stipulation. I can give you, so here, the husband made a stipulation, give me back the paper, but according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, if he doesn't want to give back the paper, she could give back the value of the paper. Hachnami, Esh Demei, and that's why she could fulfill the stipulation and not lose the get. And that's why in the Sefer, it's a valid get. Ask the Gemara, that explanation is not an attainable explanation. Because Maskul Abaya, Eim Adam Rav Shimon Gamliel, as we explained in the previous year, when did Rav Shimon Gamliel say that if you can't fulfill the exact stipulation, then you can give the value? Eim Adam Rav Shimon Gamliel, Hecha Delei Sebe'enei, where the coat isn't here, so give the money instead. Hecha Delei Sebe'enei, but in this case where he could give the get, he has no option of not giving the get. Miyomer. So we're back to trying to understand the Sefer. The Sefer says, again, to review, the Sefer says that if the husband made a stipulation with the wife, I'm giving you the get with the stipulation that you have to return it to me, the Sefer says it's a valid get and we need to understand why. So what we begin to learn now is the sugya of Tanoim. The Gemara starts to teach us what is considered a valid Tanai. Elam Abaya, Hormani, who is the Tana of this Braisa? Remeihi Dama Benin Tai Kofel. As we know, the Gemara Masechta Kedushin, other places, teaches us that the model for what is considered a valid condition, a valid stipulation, is what happened between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Bnei God of Bnei Ruvain. We know that Bnei God of Bnei Ruvain, Chatzi Shevet Menashe, wanted to receive their portion in Eivar HaYarden. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, Im Tavru Chalutzim, if you will come, if you will go lead in battle with Klal Yisrael, you'll get your share. And if not, in Eivar HaYarden, if not, you'll get your share in Eretz Yisrael. And so that becomes the model for all Tanoim. And I'm first to explain why is that the model. Because the Pasuk says, V'yanu b'nei God, u'b'nei Reuven es Moshe Lamer. So the word Lamer is superfluous. to teach us lamer. They were saying lamer. Well, what we're doing here, this becomes the model and the source for Hilchus Tanayim in all areas of Halacha. And there it was a Tanai Kafel. For Hacha, Halei Kafler the Tanai. He only said one half of the Tanai. And that's why it's not a valid Tanai, and the get remains a good get. Maskula Rava. So what are we saying? Tam de la Kafel Tanai. The whole concern here is that there wasn't a Tanai Kafel. Ha Kafel Tanai. Had the Tanai been done properly, lo avagata. The get wouldn't be a good get. So what Rava does now, this is going to be the model of the Gemara we're learning now, it says there's another rule in Hilchus Tanoim that was violated. And the Mefarshim ask, Tanai Kafel is one of the rules of Hilchus Tanoim. So why is the Gemara more focused on this rule than on any other rule of Hilchus Tanoim? Why is the Gemara looking for another rule, not this rule? So I saw two answers in the Rishonim. One answer is, because the Braisa, maybe he did make a Tanai Kafel. Why does the Braisa express it that way? Because the Braisa is not teaching us Hilchus Tanoim. To assume that there was no Tanai Kafel is an unfair assumption. It's one teretz, a simple teretz. A little more complicated teretz is as follows. By the story of the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, we could well understand why there had to be a Tanai Kafel. Why did it have to be a Tanai Kafel? Because Moshe Rabbeinu told them, if you'll go with us into battle, you'll get your share in Eivar Yarden. If you won't go, you'll get your share in Eretz Yisrael. But that's not obvious. Maybe what Moshe Rabbeinu meant was, if you'll go, you'll get Eivar Yarden. If you won't go, you'll get nothing. So that's why Moshe had to express both sides of the condition. But in another Tanai, where it's obvious what the two sides of the stipulation are, maybe you don't have to say it Tanai Kafel. Therefore, Rav is suggesting the din of Tanai Kafel is not the problem with this Tanai. What is the problem with the Tanai? Says the Gemara. Michti. Call Tanai Mehecha Gemrinala. Where do we know all Hilchus Tanayim from? As we said before, Tanai Gad Bnei Reuven. Ma Hosom Tanai Kodim Lamaisa. First you express the Tanai, and then you express the action. Af Kol Tanai Kodim Lamaisa. Lafuke Hocha. Here it's considered an invalid Tanai, the Maisa Kodim Tanai. Because what was the Tanai? He said, I raise a Gitech, I'm giving you the Git, with the condition. That's invalid. That's the way Rashi learns. Rashi learns, Tanai Koidun Lamaisa means the first you have to verbalize the Tanai, and then you verbalize the Maisa. The Rambam has a different explanation of Tanai Koidun Lamaisa. The Rambam's explanation of Tanai Koidun Lamaisa is that if you did the act, and then you come up with the Tanai, it's too late. So that's why here, Hareza Gita, he already gives her the get, and then he comes up with a Tanai, too late. Asked Avni Meluim, how could the Rambam's pshat be correct? Where are we learning Tanai Koyim de la Maisa from? The story of Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven. There was no Maisa there first. Moshe Rabbeinu first spoke about the Tanai, and then he spoke about the Maisa. So how could the Rambam be correct? So there's a beautiful teretz from Chaim Briska. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't speaking on his own behalf. He was speaking on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So by people, there's a difference between what I say and what I do. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no difference between what he says and what he does, because it's all the same. He does as he says as he does. So if he would have said the Maisa before the Tanai, the Maisa is considered done. And that's why there it's considered, like the Rambam says, a situation of a Maisa, and therefore the Tanai had to come first. I saw two nice the Rei Taira, Apidrush. The Rav Shlomo Kluger asks, if we're learning that for Tanai to be considered a valid Tanai, it has to be Tanai Koyim de Lamaisa, we go back to Adam Arishin. What happened? HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed Adam Arishin in Gan Eden, and then he made a Tanai, don't eat from Deitz Adas. Why is that a valid Tanai? First you have the Maisa, then you have the Tanai. We have to have a Tanai Koyim de Lamaisa. So Rav Shlomo Kluger answers. The Pasuk says, V'yotzer Hashem es Odom began, V'yotzer Hashem began Edom es Odom Asheyotzer. So the question is, why does the Pasuk have to say Asheyotzer, who he created? So he says, a very deep word, he says, a person who does an Aveira is not the same person. So he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put Adam HaRishon in Gan Eden, but that was Adam HaRishon before the Aveira. Adam HaRishon after the Aveira is not the same Adam HaRishon. And therefore, there's no deal made with him that I'm giving you Gan Eden. You're not the same person that was originally put into Gan Eden. Then I saw Chassidus Shvart. We say, Karv Hashem L'chol Kairov L'chol Ashikiru Be'emes. We say it every day in Ashrei. Says the vision of Tzareva. Here we have a tonight after the Maisa. Karv Hashem L'chol Kairov is the action. Kadosh Baruch Hu hears our tefillas. But then there's a condition put to it. L'chol Ashikiru Be'emes. Only we really daven Be'emes. So he says, why is the Pasuk said this way? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that that Tanai is not a valid Tanai. Because it's a Tanai after the Maisa. Our Gemara says that the Tanai is only valid if the Tanai is before the Maisa. And that's why Karv Hashem L'chol Kairov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears our tefillas, even if it's not Ashikru Be'emes, because the Tanai is not a valid Tanai, because the Tanai is after the Maisa. But it's probably Kedai the Dam Be'emes anyway. Elom Rava, says Rava, Mask Mishun the Maisa Karmel. Tonight, the problem with this Tanai is that Tanai is, the Maisa was before the Tanai, which is not acceptable. So now the Gemara picks up another issue in Hilchas Tanoim, that this Tanai doesn't fulfill. Maskler v'ada v'ahav v'shun d'maisa koyim l'tanai ha'tanai koyim l'maisa. How do you express it otherwise? Lo avigiti michti. So he continues, there's another in problem with this tanai. Michti kol tanai me'echa germinilu. Where do we know all hichs tanoim from? M'tanai b'nei god b'nei ruven. As we said, the tanai b'nei god b'nei ruven. Ma hosam tanai b'dav echer l'maisa b'dav echer. The tanai was regarding them going into battle. The Maisa was regarding them getting a portion and that's Yisrael. Afko, that is considered a valid, halakhically valid Tanai. Lefuke Hocha, here, the Tanai Maisa B'dav Echad. The Tanai speaks about the get, and the get is about the get. That's not a valid Tanai. So I saw the Stipler asks, we've been discussing, and we will continue, Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, discussing so many different Tanoim that all speak about the get. With somebody, let's speak about what we spoke about earlier. Where somebody says, I'll give you a get if you give me the money. So it's also both about the get. And nobody suggested it's not a valid tanai. So the Stipler explains, it's not an issue if the tanai and the mice are about the same subject. But it is an issue where the tanai speaks not just about the same issue, but it speaks about the same piece of paper. So you can't have a tanai about the piece of paper to get, and the get should be a get. You can't have that work together. Elo, Amar of Adbar Hava, the reason why this Tanai, again, where a husband gave the wife a get and said, on the condition that you give me back the paper, it's not a valid get, Shum the Tanai Umaisa B'Dover Echad. Rav Ashi, however, Rav Ashi has a different explanation. Homani, going back to something that we discussed in the previous year, Homani, who is the opinion of this Brisa? Rebihi, Domer Afuna Amarav, Kola Oymal Manas, Koymer Machshav Domi. We said in the previous year, that when somebody gives a get, somebody makes a tanai, and then he attaches to it a condition with the word almanas, what does the tanai say? That the action is valid as soon as the action was done. And the stipulation has to be followed up later. So in our case, where somebody says, where the husband says, hareza gitech, that's right away. Almanas means now you should fulfill the stipulation, but the get was a get the moment it was given. And the Rambam points out, from here we see that almanas is a different type of tanai than all other tanoim. Because from here we see that when the tanai is almanas, all the rules of Holchus tanoim don't apply. And you don't have to have a tanai kofol, and you don't have to have hen kodim lalav, and you don't have to have tanai kodim lamaisa, because otherwise, why does Rav Ashi not disagree with, why does Rav Ashi disagree with the previous teretz? It must be that when, says the Rambam, that when you express the tanai with an almanas, it's a different type of tanai that doesn't require all the hilchos tanoim. The Ari Shoinim, I think the Meiri, that disagrees with the Rambam and says Rav Ashi will say that he followed all the rules of tanoim and that not that almanas is different. Says the Gemara, asking Shmuel to get to the Shchimera. Shmuel was working with a Shchimera, the case that we've been discussing that we gave a get, and he said that this is what he should write. Im loy meisi, if I don't die, loy yehe get, it should not be a good get. The Macy, if I pass away from this disease, ye get. Ask the Gemara, the Lema, it's an incorrect way of saying the Tanai. What he should have said was, In Macy you get. If I pass away, it will be get. Then Loy Macy lo you get. Why? Because as I just said a moment ago, for tonight to be considered a vow tonight, you have to have the hain koden lav, the positive before the negative. So how could Shmuel suggest that the get should be written with the negative prior to the positive? It's in vow tonight. So the Gemara, the reason Shmuel said this is because Lemagdim Inish Purim Nisibinashi. He didn't want that the person should first speak about the bad news. If I die, it'll be a get. That means he's starting off his speech with something negative. He didn't want it, something bad, that he's going to die. Says the Gemara, V'leimo, lo yeh get im lo meisa. So why doesn't he say, it won't be a get if I don't die? So he's not saying anything bad. And says the Gemara, being in tonight, koim lo meisa. Maskev lo rava michte. Let's understand. Call tonight mecha gemeinen. Where do we learn all hichos tonight? But tonight they got my raven. Ma hasam hagen kodem lalav af kol lefuki hacha the lav kodem lahein. If he uses the words, even though they're not, there's not a bad connotation, but he uses the words of imloy loye get imloy meisi, you have the negative before the positive. So how could it be valid tonight? Ela my rava. What he has to do is as follows. In lo meisi, lo you get. That's the first statement that he makes. But that can't be the first statement, as the Gemara is going to explain, of the Tanai. Because the first statement of a Tanai can't be a negative. Then he makes the statement, in meisi ye get. And then he says, in lo meisi, lo you get. And the Gemara explains exactly why he's saying three sentences. The first statement that he made, in lo meisi, lo you get, we wanted to make that first statement because lo magdim inish pronos lanashi. We don't want the person to start with something that has a bad connotation. So he says, if I won't die. Then he has to make the tanai. But as we've been learning, hilchos tanoim require that you say the hain kodem lalav. That's why he first says, im yeh meisi yeh get, and then he says, im lo meisi lo yeh get, to fulfill the behin and hain kodem lalav. So from here we see that it's very important that when somebody speaks, he should always speak positive before he speaks negative. In fact, I saw that the Poskim speak about the Nusach of the Tefillah in the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. They make this point. We say, Eza L'Rav, Eza L'Soiva. So the Poskim say, don't say that. You're supposed to say, Eza L'Soiva, Eza L'Rav. Similarly, we say, Eza L'Cherev, Eza L'Shalom. No, don't do that. You're supposed to say Eza L'Shalom, Eza L'Cherev, because you're always supposed to speak the positive first. And the Shaul of Tshuva's Torah L'Shma also points out that we know that when we give somebody an Aliyah, and the Aliyahs that are set up in the Chumash take this into consideration, we always try to make sure that the Aliyah doesn't end with something negative. The Kriya that somebody got an Aliyah should not end with something negative. And the Shaul Tshuva's Torah L'Shma says, absolutely, very important. He said, but our Gemara is teaching us that you have to be more concerned about the way you begin the speech than the way you end the speech. And therefore he says that Bali Kriya should be careful that when they start, they should set up the Aliyahs in a way that not only should the Aliyah not end with something negative, but more importantly, because our Gemara ends with something negative, it just doesn't start with something negative, we should be more concerned that when somebody gets an Aliyah, he should make sure to try to set up the Gabbai, the Bakari, to try to make sure that he begins the Kriya with something positive. And not only in that setting, but the Poskim say that if somebody learns Chumash, he learns Nach, let's say somebody does Shnayim Mikvei Chatagim, he doesn't want to wait to do the entire parasha at one time, he does a little portion at a time, he should try to make sure not to end with something bad, and also make sure that he shouldn't end in a place that the first pasuk he's going to begin with next time should be something negative. Or if he's learning Navi, he should do the same, he should try to avoid such a circumstance as our Gemara just taught us. Says the Mishnah, if somebody said, Hareza Gitech Amnasha Tishamshi Abba, she gives get on the condition that you should serve my father. Amanash shetanikis b'ni, on the condition that you will continue nursing my son. So regarding the father, the Rishonim say, he meant as long as my father is alive. But what about nursing? How long does she have to nurse to be considered that she has fulfilled the condition? Kami menixa. So Tanakam says, shtei shonim. Yehuda Ayma, Shmanesu Chodesh, 18 months. And the Pais can point out, then this Gemara, the Tanakhama uses the word Shtei Shonim, 2 years. But when we have this Gemara, we learned that in Masechta Ksubas, there the Gemara says that the Tanakhama holds 24 months. Why is he saying here Shtei Shonim? So the Pais can say to teach us that if it's a leap year, it has to be the 2 full years, and she has to do the extra month. Says the Mishnah, Meisa ben, or Shemesh Ta'av, let's say the son died, or the father died, and she can't serve him, she can't nurse him. Hareza get, the get is still a valid get. And then we have here Machloikis, Rashi and Taisus. Rashi says it's a valid get, as long as she did nurse the child for a small amount of time. She did serve the father. But according to Rashi, Taisus says, if she never nursed the child, she never serve the father, then it won't be a good get. Taisus disagrees that if circumstances beyond her control, the father died, the son died, prevented her from nursing or serving the father, doesn't make a difference. The get will be a good get. Teaches us the next din of the Mishnah. Hareza gitech amenashe tanshmis avishtei shonim. He made a condition, you have to serve my father for 2 years. He made an explicit condition. You have to nurse my son for 2 years. And then Mesa Ben, before the 2 years are up, the son died. Oish Amarav, the father says, I don't want it to take care of me. Shloibak Bada, but not because it's her fault. The father decided I don't want it to serve me. Tanakama holds ain't a get. It is a get. Since it's not her fault that she's not fulfilling the condition, there's no problem. Says the Gemara, Klal Amar of Shimon Gamliel, for of Shimon Gamliel made a rule, Kol Akovish Ena Himena. If it's not her fault that the condition is not being met, Harei Zeh Get, it's a valid get. Says the Gemara, Umi Be'inin Kulehai, is the halacha that she has to serve him for the full 2 years. She has to serve the father, always. She has to nurse the child that long, Vermini. It says in a braisa, Shim Shishoy Yom Echad, if the wife served the father-in-law just one day, Heniksa Yom Echad, or she nursed the child just one day, and the Rishonim say it doesn't even have to be one day. It could just be 1 hour. Hareza get. So how do we reconcile the Mishnah and the braisa? Answers the Gemara, Amar of Kazaloy Kasha. Ha Rabbanan, the Vahar Rab Shimon Gamliel. And the Gemara explains, Masnisan, our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel, who says that that when the husband makes a condition that he wants the coat, according to Rav Shimon, what does he want? If he can't give the coat, give money, because the husband wants that benefit. So that's why in our Mishnah, he wants as much benefit, and nurse for 2 years, serve forever. Rav Gamliel, on the other hand, the Braisa, the Gemara is saying, Braisa is following the opinion of Rabbanan. All he wants to do is cause her tsar, and as soon as she has to serve the father-in-law, as soon as she serves the nurse, or she nurses the child, she has tsar. Says the Gemara, we can't explain that our Mishnah follows Rav Shimon Gamliel. Hamad is safer because we just learned the Mishnah, and the safer the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel is noted. Hamad is safer of Shimon Gamliel, have a mechlad the Reisha live of Shimon Gamliel. So we can't explain that the Reisha is following the opinion of Shimon Gamliel. Says the Gemara, a Braisa of Shimon Gamliel. Just the opposite. Rav Shimon Gamliel, says the Gemara, we see has a very lenient view towards conditions. The husband says, I want my coat. Says Rav Shimon Gamliel, if you give the money, it's good enough. Similarly, the husband says, I want you to serve my father. I want you to nurse my son. Says Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Braisa, if you just nurse him once, you just serve him once, you fulfill the condition. The Mekel B'Tanai, because Rav Shimon has a very lenient view towards Tanayim. Masnisin, on the other hand, our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbanim, who take a stricter view to Tanayim. Just like when the husband says, I want you to give me the coat, there's no leeway, say to Rabbanim. You have to give the coat. Here too, when he says, you have to nurse my child, you have to serve my father, he meant all the way. That's how he resolves the contradiction between the Braisa and the Mishnah. Rav Amar Lo Kasha. Kambim Stam, Kambim Mefarish. Our Mishnah says, where he said 2 years. So if he said 2 years, he meant 2 years. Here, we didn't say 2 years, we said stam, we said two stam, we take it to mean the full 2 years. But he didn't say it, we said one day is good enough. Rav Ashi has a different explanation. Kol stam nami kumefarish. Wherever you don't express what you mean, it doesn't, it's all the same. Yom echad doni. Even if I didn't say it, one day is enough. Ask the Gemara on Rav Ashi's explanation. We just learned in our Mishnah, Tanan, kami min nuksoi, for how long does she have to nurse him? Shtei shonim. Rav Yehudai mishmona sechoydish. So bishlam l'ravanicha, because here in our Mishnah, he said stam, and according to Rav, if he didn't say that one day is good enough, you have to nurse for the whole 2 years. But according to Rav Ashi, asked the Gemara, even if you didn't say anything, we always explain it to mean that one day is good enough, so why does our Mishnah say that she has to nurse for 2 years? El Rav Ashi, lom li shteim shanim, lom li shteim asa chaydish. Even if he didn't say anything, according to Rav Ashi, yoy mechad sagi, one day is enough. Says the Gemara, what the Mishnah means is, hachi kama, yoy mechad mishtei shanim. According to Rav Ashi, even if he didn't say anything, one day would be enough. But our Mishnah says, when will the one day be? The one day has to be before the child is 2 years old. Lefuke, lachishtei shanim. According to the Tanakhama, if she wants to fulfill the condition by nursing the child once, but she waited till the child is over 2 years old, too late. Yonechot, according to Yehuda, mishman asachaydish. She wants to fulfill it, she has to make sure to nurse that one time before the child becomes 18 years old. Lefuke, lachishtei masachaydish. Afterwards, too late, it's too late. Meisrei, ask the Gemara, it says in the Braisa, Hareza Megitech. That you have to serve my father for 2 years. So we learned in our Mishnah, if the son died, I refuse to take her services, even though it's not a fault, ain't a get. Says the Gemara, we can understand the difference between the Reish and the Sefer according to Rava. Bishlam Rava, Rava is going to explain, Reish Shabadoi Parish. That he said, stam, and according to Rava, he has to serve the whole 2 years. Sefer, the Sefer is going to be speaking in case the parish, that he says that he explained himself, and if she didn't fulfill the condition, she didn't follow it. Ella of Ashi, that says there's no difference between parish and loy parish, why is there a difference? Because we treat stam. According to Rashi, we treat stam and mefarish the same way. Mashna reisha, mashna seifa. So why there are different halachas in the reisha and the seifa? And says the Gemara, indeed, this is a kasha according to Rashi's opinion.